Hey everyone, my name is Josh, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and your family and be a blessing any way that we can. You could also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
All right, real quick. If you are a mom, would you stand to your feet for us? We just want to applaud you. That's it. All right. Thank you. Let's clap for our moms. Come on. So great. You can cheer, Mom. That's good. Moms, we got a gift for you in the lobby. If you didn't see, cupcake of your choice. All right. And so lots of different flavors and kinds. I know they have some, in the past, they've gotten gluten-free. If you're gluten-free or whatever you got to do on that, I'm not sure of dairy-free, but give it to somebody else or whatever. Okay. All right. So we just want to honor our moms. This morning, I was kind of doing some final studying and reading in our passage of Psalm 27. And so if you're a guest, if you're new here, we've been walking through the book of Psalms, not through the entirety of the book. We are taking themes and taking chapters because there's 150 chapters in Psalms. So we're not going to take 3 years to preach through each chapter. So we are spending some time looking at and examining some major themes in this passage. And so this morning we're going to be in Psalm 27. If you have a Bible, a device, we'd love for you to follow along. This morning will be a little different, and I'll explain that. As I was kind of doing some final studying and got the word that at our Lake Orion location, the whole Lake Orion area, if you didn't see, has zero water, and so they had a water main break. And so I said, hey, why don't I talked to Pastor Josh Yates. I said, hey, why don't you come and let's preach the sermon together? He said, okay. And I didn't even know what I was saying, honestly. All right, I have a sermon, and anybody that would want to preach with me is kind of crazy as well. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to do a little introduction, and he's going to come out and preach a bunch of the passage. And so I'm excited for this. We'll see how it goes, all right? But I thought it'd be fun to try. So if you have a Bible, a device, something to follow along, read along, we're going to be in Psalm 27, one of my favorite psalms that we're going to highlight this morning. Psalm 27 was written by King David, and you can see his emotion, you can see his response, you can see his heart. It's very common theme throughout Psalms that you'll see a prayer of confidence in who Christ is, trusting in who he is, while also dealing with the difficulties of this world. I love that authenticity that David gives us in much of Psalms, because church can simply be, hey, you know what? You got to walk in and everything else in my life is feeling good. Everything else is fine. And I got to smile and fake it. The reality is church should be an authentic place that, yes, I do realize God is still God. I trust, love him, adore him, but there are things in my life I don't like. There are things in my life that aren't working very well. There's things in my life that just seem to not make sense. But yet, God, you are still God. I trust and I worship you and I adore you. That is a lot of what Psalms, in a quick nutshell, is about. Psalm 27 reads, "The Lord is my light in my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp around against me, my heart shall not fear. The war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have, I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O, you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not. O God of my salvation, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of the enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries. For false witness have risen against me. They have breathed out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. God, we come to you this morning. We open your word. We praise you. We love you. We adore you. God, we are so grateful for your love and your care in our lives. God, as the words that David writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, his authenticity, his realizing that you are his stronghold. You are the light. You are his salvation. God, we echo those same words this morning. God, you are the light. You are our stronghold. God, you are salvation. And we praise you for that. God, thank you for what we've been able to experience already in this gathering this morning. Seeing moms and dads present their children to you as we lift you up in worship. God, we are truly gathered for you. God, over the next few minutes as we open your word, God, as I communicated, as Pastor Josh communicates it, God, we just ask to truly that your Holy Spirit work in this place, that we see lives changed. We praise you and we love you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. So just quickly and briefly, I know some of you think, oh my goodness, two pastors are going to preach. We are definitely missing our Mother's Day brunch, okay? No need to panic, all right? Josh is the longer-winded one. I've already talked to him, all right? You Lake Orion people. Really quick, all right? Just going to give you an overview. What's happening in this? David gives us a quick look at the confidence of God's protection. First six verses, that he has confidence in God's hand in his life. But then when trial or tribulation occur, he's praying for the very presence of God. God, step into this situation. Be real. I've prayed that over families many times. God, we know you're real. We know you are truly on your throne. But God, can you just show yourself more clearly in this moment? I prayed that more times than I would want to even let you know, because I needed it in my own life. But yet in the last of the chapter, we do see this idea of patience. I've told you this, if you're new and you don't know me, I can't lie and say I'm patient. I'm probably the least patient person you ever met in your life. And that includes even times with God. God, it's hard to wait. God, I need you at my time. Can I schedule you to show up? Because it's hard, but we really see David longing for the person, the presence, and the protection of God, yet had to be patient in his longings. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to invite Pastor Josh out just as I say that, because I think that really is a great culmination point, clarifying. David longed for the person of God. God, I need you to be real. I think if we did a hand raise, we're not going to do it. Every one of us would say, God, we need you to be real in this moment at some point of our lives. God, I long for you to be real. I long for your very presence and your protection. And God, I struggle with my patience, but I ask that you help me be patient in this moment. You ready? You don't got to run. You're okay, all right? Hey, for all you Holly people, this is Pastor Josh. And so super excited to have you jump in.
Good to be here, man.
Love you, man.
Thank you. Well, thank you I got it? All right. Yeah, thank you for welcoming us orphans from Lake Orion. We don't smell yet. We've had enough water to shower this morning, I think. Give us a few days and we'll see what happens with that. But we appreciate your prayers as we go through what we're going through in Lake Orion, as well as Auburn Hills is going through that as well. So we'll just kind of see how God works and what opportunities we have to serve our community as well over this next week. But it's an honor to be here with you today and to continue opening up God's word. As I prepared this message, and I just heard Pastor Caleb say what he said, the rhythm is the same and we never talked about our messages together. So it's all somehow God does that for us. Now, something I'm going to do this morning that I don't do often, but as I studied this passage, I came across a testimony of a woman by the name of Darlene Diebler. She's a missionary to Papua New Guinea. And I'm going to reference her as I talk through this, because there's some things that she went through in her life that's so referenced, that so go along with this passage in Psalm 27. She was born on May 17th, 1917. And at the age of 10, she, during a revival service, would accept Jesus into her heart. And then a year later, she would literally go to the Lord. She wrote in her book called Evidence Not Seen. She would write that she prayed, "Lord, I will go anywhere with you, no matter what it costs." She and her husband would end up pioneering missions over in Southeast Asia, and they would end up going to Papua New Guinea and establishing a mission to an unreached people group there and spend their entire life there. And then World War II happened, and a lot of things happened in their lives because of what happened in the Pacific theater of World War II. And we're going to talk about some of those things as we go through this passage today. But it's amazing what God did in her life, and we're going to learn a lot from her this morning as well. But as Pastor Caleb said, as we get into this passage, the first thing David talks about is being confident in God. He talks about how great God is. And I love that about David, because David's always on this roller coaster. I've been saying that to our Lake Orion location. Anybody here ever live on a roller coaster? I know I do. And life can be up, life can be down. And David is that way, and he does that all throughout the psalm. But he always reminds himself of who God is. And so he starts at the beginning that, who holds me? Who holds me in tough times? It's got to be God. Who's by your side? And we have to answer those questions too. We don't know who the writer of Psalm 121 is, but David had this concept in mind when he wrote this passage in Psalm 27. It says, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And so who does David say God is in the beginning of Psalm 27? Well, first of all, he says that God is my light. He starts off saying God is my light. You know what I found out was really, really interesting? This is the only place in the Old Testament where God is actually referenced as light, as being light. He has light, or light came from him. He's shown with light, but it's the only passage in the Old Testament where it says that God is light. The New Testament talks about God being light, but the Old Testament, this is the only place that says that. And so I got to thinking about it. If God is my light, what does that do for us? Well, as I was thinking about that, our 80-pound dog, Ruby, is a border collie boxer mix. And she's getting older, and she sleeps in our room on a bed right next to our bed. In order for me to get around the bed, I also have to get around Ruby to do the things you have to do in the middle of the night, right? And every single night, sometimes she's in a ball, sometimes she is sprawled out across the whole walkway, and it's a 50-50 chance she could be one or the other. What do I need to do? I've got to have light. Otherwise, I step on her. She doesn't like it when I step on her. It's not a fun thing for her. And so I have to have light. What does light do? It lights our path. It shows us where we need to go. And when times are difficult, we have to have confidence that God is our light. He will show us where we need to go if we look to him continually in our lives. God is the light that helps us see when life is dark. He is that light. Then he goes on, he says, God is my salvation. He saved us. What does it mean to be saved? I feel like sometimes when we think of our salvation, that it might be just some words God spoke, that he saved us from a slight peril. Oftentimes that's how we end up living our lives, practically. We may not say that in our hearts, but practically how we live is, yeah, God saved me, woohoo. This is a rescue that God has done. It is a deliverance for us. It is an absolute rescue, because we were lost and without hope, and Jesus came, died for us, and set us free from sin and death. This is an awesome thing that we have to understand. God is our salvation. And when life is dark, we have to go back and understand how much of his of salvation he is. Not just at to save us from our sin, but also to help us in tough times in our lives. Jesus has saved us. And my friends, I'm going to tell you this morning, that should change our lives. It should change how we live every single day. And then finally, he says in this first verse, he says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. The verse or the word here can also be talking about God as our refuge, the place you can go when everything is failing. Not that God provides shelter or provides refuge, but he is our refuge. When we are struggling, we run to him because David has confidence. That's where he ran, and we can do the same. God protected David. He protects us. He is our very protection in our lives. But something we can't miss here is you just say that God is light, God is salvation, God is stronghold. No, there's a little two-letter word in there where he says, God is my light. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. Commentator puts it like this: some people who attend church know about God, but they do not know God. They're like travel agents who get so used to talking about far off places like Tahiti and Bora Bora that they begin to think that they've been there. They can talk about Jesus, but they have never truly met Jesus and they do not love him. They know about God, but they do not know God. They can't say with confidence, the Lord is my light, my salvation, my stronghold. Hear this, if Psalm 27 is going to be yours, you have to be his. If Psalm 27 is going to be yours, you have to be his. You have to belong to him. And David goes on, he says, man, when God is all of these things for you, who can we fear? Who should we fear? There is nothing left to fear. I wish I remembered that all the time. I wish I was able to remember that all the time because I have times in my life where things are crashing down on me and I don't know what the answer is, how to take the next step. And I'm like, God, where are you? Much like David is in many places in the Psalms. I've got to remember that there's nothing I have to fear because David would go on in verses 2 and 3 and speak of his absolute confidence in the Lord. Darlene Diebler would say, to sacrifice, shout, sing, and rejoice in the Lord is easy when everything's going well. It's something else when your heart is broken and God seems silent and distant. Because eventually, World War II would make its way to Papua New Guinea and her husband would end up being separated to Japanese internment camps. And she would spend, I don't remember the exact amount of time, but years separated from her husband in Japanese internment camp. And on a Sunday evening in November 1944, she was informed that her husband, Russell, had died. 3 months after he died. It was in those moments she said that she felt like God had left her, that he had forsaken her, that her whole world fell apart. She says, in anguish of my soul, I looked up, my Lord was there, and I cried out, but God! Immediately, God answered her. She felt he told her, my child, did I not say that when you go through deep waters, I'd be with you? And through the floods, that they wouldn't overtake you? But in the midst of her sorrow was a very interesting thing that happened. Because God continually takes beauty from ashes. She would be called into the prison camp's leader, the commander. His name was Mr. Yamaji. He was a hard and brutal man who had actually beaten a POW to death in the year previous. And so his reputation preceded him. And this conversation took place. Mr. Yamaji would say, Najona Diebler, I want to talk with you. This is war. She said, yes, I understand that. He said, well, you heard today about your husband dying. Women in Japan have heard that all over the place. Darlene would say, yes, I understand that too. Mr. Yamaji would say, you're very young. Someday the world will be over. You can go back to America. You can go dancing. You can do all the things you want to do. In fact, you'll probably even get remarried. But here's the thing. You've been a great help to the other women in the camp. Please don't lose your smile. And so Darlene, in the middle of her sorrow, says, Mr. Yamaji, can I have permission to talk to you? And he gave her permission. They sat down. And she says this. Mr. Yamaji, I don't sorrow like people who have no hope. I want to tell you about someone of whom you may have never heard. I learned about him when I was in a Sunday school back in Boone, Iowa, in America. His name is Jesus. He's the Son of the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. And she would go on and say that God would lay out the opportunity for her to be able to lay out the gospel completely to him. Tears started to course down his cheeks when she said, "He died for you, Mr. Imaji, and he puts his love in our hearts, even for those who are our enemies. That's why I don't hate you, Mr. Imaji. Maybe God brought me to this place and time to tell you he loves you." Right after she heard about her husband dying in the middle of a Japanese internment camp. I don't know about you, but if I'm in the middle of a Japanese internment camp, I'm not thinking about Psalm 27. I'm thinking about, "Oh God, how woe is me." I mean, let's make it really honest. This morning, finding out I'm not going to have water for 14 to 4 weeks. God, what are we going to do? Sometimes it only takes little things to really get us our eyes off of God, the one who we can have confidence in. And yet she shares the gospel right after learning her husband had passed. She was confident in the Lord, just like David is confident in the Lord, and we need to be confident in the Lord. I want you to listen to David's words about God in verses 4 to 8. I know Pastor Caleb read it, but I want us to hear it specifically in this. "One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to acquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will hide me, lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, 'Seek my face.' And my heart says to you, 'Your face, Lord, do I seek.'" David is communicating how he loves the Lord, and his confidence is rooted in his love for God. For those of you who don't know, my wife's name is Jeannie. We met the first day of college in 1997. And I saw her and I was like, "Wow, she's cute. I got to get to know her." And so we dated for about, I think, 2 years, and then we got married in 1999. We're going on 27 years of marriage now. And we're absolutely, thank you. We're so thankful for that. But the thing is when I was around her, I loved to see her. I spent about as much time as I could with her. I couldn't be with her enough when we were courting. But here's the thing about 26, almost 27 years of marriage. Any building I enter, any room I enter, if I know Jeannie's gonna be there, she's the first person I look for. She's the first face I look for in a crowd when I'm PA announcing sports at Oakland Christian School. When I preach a sermon, she's the first face I look for. Still haven't found her yet, but she's here somewhere. She's the first face I look for, and I can't wait to see her at the end of the day. I even try to carve out time during the week to maybe have lunch with her, because she works at our Waterford location as Pastor Roy's assistant. And so we don't always get to see each other, but I try to carve that out. Why? Because she's my wife. She's my best friend. She's the one that I'm spending my life with. She's the mother of my children. She's the one who's set my face on. She's really cute and beautiful. She's the love of my life. That's how David was looking at God. And we can have that reaction and say, "Oh, and I appreciate that." But that's the kind of relationship we can have with the Lord. That he is the first person I go to when I struggle. He's the first face I look at because I need him. I don't just need his stuff. I need him. I don't have an answer apart from God. There is no plan B. He's my plan A. I'm going to seek him all the days of my life. See, my friends, when we don't have the answers, we have to go to the one who does. We have to go to God. And he can't be our last call. It's like, "Oh, all I have left to do is pray about it." No, that's the first thing we've got to do. We seek his face because God has said, "Seek my face." Psalm 63, 1-3 says this, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." And then Psalm 84:10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in tents of wickedness. When we consider all he has done, when we consider all he is, that he is our light, our salvation, our stronghold, or our refuge, how can we not look at God this way? How can we not? And finally, David moves into talking about the dark times that he's in. He's crying out in these dark times. He remembered everything that God is, and now he's crying out in his despair. You ever have those moments in your life where you're doing everything you can to remember who God is, but you just can't see him? You're not sure if God's gonna show up? This is David here. I've been there so many times in my life where times with my daughters and their upbringing, am I being the dad that they need? Financial concerns and worries in life, ministry stuff. God, I know who you are, but God, are you gonna show up this time? I mean, you've never failed me, but are you gonna show up this time? And in verses 8 to 12, after remembering who God is, David lays out his heart and he says, God, teach me. God, please don't hide your face from me. God, please don't forsake me. God, even my parents have forsaken me, so I'm really nervous about this. I've been forsaken in my life. God, please don't forsake me in the situation that I'm in. David's saying, don't let my enemies continue to lie about me, because people are believing these lies. They're plotting my demise. We can find ourselves in the pages in these words that David says to God, and God gives us an example for our lives. Darlene's husband would tell her on March 13, 1942, that God would never leave us or forsake them. Those were the last words that Darlene would hear from her husband when they separated them into two separate prison camps. She said, everything happened so fast without the slightest warning. Russell had said, he will never leave us or forsake us. Darlene would say, no, what about now, Lord? This is one of the times when I thought God had left me, that he had forsaken me. I was to discover, though, that when I took my eyes off the circumstances that were overwhelming me, over which I had no control, and if I looked up, Darlene said, my Lord was there, standing on the parapet of heaven looking down. And deep in my heart, he whispered, I'm here. Even when you don't see me, I'm here. Never for a moment are you out of my sight. I don't know what stories we bring in this morning. I don't know what struggles you have. I don't know what concerns are weighing your heart down this morning. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. I haven't got a chance to say that, so happy Mother's Day to all you moms. Thank you for everything you do. But even Mother's Day brings sorrow sometimes. Maybe it's the first Mother's Day you have are having right now without your mom. Can I tell you this morning, we see you and we've been praying for you. I lost my mom 4 years ago. Maybe you're experiencing mom guilt this morning because the kids weren't dressed up the way you wanted to be dressed today. And man, there's so many things we go through in this life. I don't know what you're carrying to this morning, but I want you to hear what Darlene heard from God. I'm here. Even when you don't see me, I'm here. Never for a moment are you out of my sight. And today, as we look at this passage of scripture, we have to hear this one thing from this psalm. We have to understand, and this is it. It's wait on God and you will see his goodness. Wait on God and you will see his goodness. It's how David ends this passage, his prayer to the Lord. He's talked about everything he's gone through, and he finishes in this crescendo of faith in this God who is his light, his salvation, and his stronghold. In verses 13 to 14, this is what David says. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many of us need to declare that this morning? That I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord. Not later, This isn't just about heaven, my friends. It's about whatever situation you're in. You will see the goodness of the Lord if you wait on him. In verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. And wait for the Lord. David expected to see the goodness of God in his lifetime. God delivers today, my friend. I want you to hear that today. Whatever situation you're in, God delivers today, not just down the road. His word is for you today. And he is ever present with us. In the darkest moments is when he is close as well. Don't lose your hope in him. Don't lose hope wherever you, whatever you face. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know him as your light, your salvation, and your stronghold, I want to tell you this morning, Jesus died to set you free today. Jesus died to forgive you of your sin. And if you call on the name of the Lord, if you call out the name of Jesus, your lips confess that he is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved this morning if you call on the name of God. He saved every single one of us if we'll call on his name. You can call on him today, and I encourage you to do that. If you have questions about that, there's people at guest services that would love to speak with you. You can grab me or Pastor Caleb after the gathering too. We would be so honored to talk to you about who Jesus is. But I want you to know there is no other name under heaven by which people must be saved. His name is Jesus. Darlene knew that too, and that's why she shared the gospel with Mr. Yamaji. I have to tell you the end of her story because she died on February 24th, 2004. She was 86 years old. She had remarried. She went back to Papua New Guinea. Hundreds of people from that unreached people group came to know Jesus as their Savior. They were instrumental in beginning several indigenous churches in that area. But there was one person that she found out that accepted Jesus that she would have never expected. Following the end of World War II, Mr. Yamaji, the prison camp commander that we talked about earlier, he was tried and sentenced to be executed for the brutal beating of that man to death in that POW camp. His sentence was later commuted to life imprisonment with hard labor, and that sentence was also later commuted after he was released. But many years later, in 1976, Darlene would learn from a friend that Mr. Yamaji had been heard on Japanese radio. He was heard sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Japanese people, testifying to his cruelty in World War II, but also bearing witness that he was now a different man because of Christ. Get this. If Darlene had never been in that Japanese internment camp, if her husband had never died in the way that he did, would Mr. Yamaji have known Jesus Christ as his Savior? Now, I believe Darlene, as she shared, would say, that is not the way I had planned or desired that my life would work out. But she would later say, before she died, I would do it all again for my Savior. I don't know what you're going through. And I know some of us may be going through some pretty dark times. There's a lot of things happening in the world around us. I don't have the exact why. You know, people come to me and ask why some, and why do I have to go through this? I don't have that answer for myself either. But I do know this, that the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my refuge. Whom should I fear? I get afraid though sometimes because I get my eyes off of my King. But I want to tell you this morning. God never wastes a hurt. Why don't you hear that again? God never wastes a hurt. There's always reasons. We may not know until later on. We may not know until heaven one day. And somebody comes up to us and says, thank you for being faithful to God. Mr. Yamaji, I'm sure said that to Darlene. God is ever present with you. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. And we can declare with confidence like David did, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Maybe you need to put that on a 3x5 card and put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it underneath your visor of your car. I don't know. Maybe you need to be reminded of that so much in the coming days and weeks that you will see the goodness of the Lord. If you wait on the Lord, you will see his goodness. It might not look the way you anticipated, but it will be good. Why do we know that? Because we serve a good, good Father. He loves you. He hasn't left you. And if you feel alone, cry out. If there's anything we're learning in the psalm, cry out to God. He's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of your fear. And he'll remind you who he is. That he is your light. He's your salvation. And he is your refuge. Run to him today. Wait on God. And you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let's pray together this morning. God, I thank you for the reminder of David. That, Lord, you are good, that you are our light, you are our salvation, you are our stronghold. And so, God, I just pray this morning for those that might be truly suffering, for those moms that might have had to say goodbye to a mom, for financial struggles, for hurting marriages, for career concerns. God, I pray that we would bring them to you and that we would pour out our hearts to you. And that God, we would declare with David that God, we will see your goodness. We don't know how, God, but I can trust you because you're my king, you're my light, you're my salvation, you're my stronghold, you're my refuge. And God, for those who don't yet know you as Savior, God, I pray that they would call on the name of Jesus Christ right now. Or that they would get their questions answered about who you are. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us the way that you do. It's in his name we pray.